Every man on earth is given just one life. Every life on earth is but a vapor. It appears, then is gone, with a record of what's done. Then we stand alone at the judgment seat of Christ, God's holy Son.
We must all bow down at the judgment seat of Christ. We must give account for the things we've done with our lives. I will live my life for Jesus Christ, so that in eternity my life will be gold and silver and precious stones.
Every deed I've done and every thought I've known, every choice I've made, tried by
will it burn or remain? Will I bow my head in shame? Will I hear God say, welcome home, my child, well done, my faithful one? We must all bow down at the judgment seat of Christ. We must give account for the things we've done with our lives. I will live my life for Jesus Christ, so that in eternity my life will be gold and silver and precious stones. Judgment seat of Christ, we must give account for the things we've done with our lives. I will live my life for Jesus Christ, so that in eternity my life will be gold and silver and precious.
Genesis 22 and verse number 1. We'll read a few verses and then we'll have you be seated. I do understand, I just want you to understand so you're comfortable. I know that our service, we've been getting up here a little bit later because of the things we're doing related to the building. So I know what time it is and we'll be fine. Genesis chapter 22, let's start in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Then when he's saying tempt, he means test. God's testing him. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I want you to notice that phrase. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day in the mount, the Lord of the Lord, it shall be seen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. Thank you for all that has happened already this morning, the Sunday school classes, the singing, special music, Lord, and the encouragement about our building offering. Pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts in these few minutes that we have. Help us to see something from your word. Give us encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. This is an unusual story. In this story, God makes a very difficult request of Abraham. Now, this request that God's making, he would not actually want him to carry out. He was testing him. In fact, his son Isaac was a miracle child, a child of Abraham and Sarah's old age. For them, I think Sarah was 99, so you do the math there. They thought they could not have a child, and God allowed them to have a child. God had told him that Sarah and he would have an heir. It wouldn't be the son that was born through the relationship with Hagar. That was not going to be his heir. They had got to the point they thought they were too old, but God reminded them that nothing was too hard for him, and their heir would be through he and Sarah. So they did have this child, this miracle child. God had promised Abraham that one day he would be the father of a nation that would be so vast that it would be like the stars in the sky, and those would come through his son Isaac. At this point, Isaac has not had any children. And then God's asking him to slay his son. This was a test. It'll be the greatest test that Abraham will ever face in his life. And we see here that he will pass it with flying colors. It's interesting, as they journey to the place of sacrifice, he parts from his servants to go alone with his son. When the servants ask what's going on, Abraham, or Abraham's explaining to them what's going on, he makes this statement, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now think about that. He is going in his mind, because he does not know it is a test, he is going to offer his son as a burnt offering. By the way, something God would never before. Later on, when the law comes out, that was a sign of actually the heathen nations, but God's testing him. And yet he calls it worship. I'm going to go to worship. He equated what he was to sacrifice to God, something that he highly valued, something that he loved, his heir, his son, was in all reality an act of worship. Now, we misunderstand worship in our circle, in our Christian circles today. We think that if we get up and sing songs and we call that worship, and if you want to call it worship, whatever, that's not worship. That's singing songs to the Lord. Sometimes we call our church services, we call them worship services. If you want to call them worship services, that's fine, but it's a church service. It's not necessarily worship, as singing a song is not necessarily worship. Worship is something we equate worth to. It's ascribing worth to something. So when we are worshiping God, we are ascribing worth to Him. We are telling Him in the way that we live and in our life that He is worthy. Singing a song can lead us to worship if we think about God and how worthy He is. But most of the time, we're just listening to a song that we like the way it sounds. Most of the time, we're just sitting in a service because we're here. But it can lead to worship, but that is not necessarily worship. It is unusual how Abraham worships God here, how he ascribes worth to God. It is in the form of the test and he being willing to follow God's orders. How we respond to God's request in our life really determines how much are we really worshiping Him. We can come to church and we can sing the songs of God. We can listen to the specials that sing about the Lord. We can sit in a service and listen to a Sunday school class or listen to a Bible study. And then we can walk outside of those doors and nothing about our life says we are worshiping God. Are we really worshiping Him? Now, I'm going to go over some points here in the story, but I'm going to relate a lot of this to our May 18th offering. There was something being given here. That's an opportunity for us to worship the Lord in a different way. Now, as we look here at Abraham and how he worshiped, I want to give you several things. How did Abraham worship the Lord? When he said they were going yonder to worship, what was involved here? Number one, I'll tell you what was involved: instant obedience. Instant obedience. God came to him and said, now take your son, your only son, you're going to go where I'm going to tell you to go. He didn't tell him right at that time. He goes, and you're going to offer your son as a burnt sacrifice. And verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he got everybody ready, and he said, where are we going? There's no questions. There's no debate. He just says, let's go. He didn't ask, why do I have to do this? Now, I'm not as good a Christian as Abraham. If God asked that to me, I probably would have said, huh? What are we talking about here? But that wasn't Abraham. Abraham trusted God. We'll find out later why. And he does it. This is a problem for us today in Christianity. See, the average Christian doesn't look at his Bible and say, you know, well, if that's what God wants me to do, let's do it. We don't think like that. We question everything. If we really understand God, if we really understand His Word, if we really understand His place in our life, when God tells us to do something, it's not a matter of, why do I have to do that? Trying to figure out what God says. What's the whole scheme behind it? We just say, God said it, let's go. Instant obedience. Our whole society has taught us to question authority. Our whole society has taught us to question anything that goes against what we want to do. The Bible's not like that. It's not a matter or a question of right or wrong when we think about what God tells us to do. In most cases, we make our decision based on, is that what I want to do? Is that how I feel? By the way, that's prevalent in Christianity. This singer that just came out from some Christian contemporary artist, Jars of Clay, coming out speaking about this, the whole gay marriage thing and the whole traditional marriage, and here's what he said. Bible doesn't talk at all about morality. Now, I don't know what Bible he's reading. My Bible talks a lot about morality. The reason his Bible doesn't speak about morality is because he doesn't want to hear it. But can I just tell you something? That's how most of us are. There's an area of our life the Bible speaks about, and it's like, I don't want to hear it. And we think we can ignore it. Abraham wasn't like that. It was instant obedience. Most people do nothing more than play church. I heard a story. There was a man one time, many years ago, he attended a fair, and he saw this man leading a fine horse. And he asked the man, he goes, hey, what kind of horse is that? Is that a saddle riding horse? You know, a horse that you put the saddle on and you ride? He goes, oh, no, not this horse. If you hop on this horse, he'll buck you off. You're not riding this horse. And he said, well, is this a working horse? Is this a horse that helps, you know, pull things and pull carts? He goes, oh, man, you try to put this horse in a cart? Uh-uh. He'll go crazy. He goes, well, what kind of horse is it? He goes, it's strictly a show horse. He's just looking good. That man, same man, went to the church next Sunday. He saw all the people in the church. He visited the church, and afterwards he saw the pastor. He goes, wow, you got a lot of people here. He goes, do the majority of the people in your church, do they share the gospel with people in their neighborhood who don't know about Jesus? He goes, no, you know, really, a majority of them don't really do that. He goes, well, do these people, are they out doing good works, helping the community and helping those in needs, helping those in need? And he goes, no, you know, they don't really do that. He goes, do a majority of your people, you know, give of their income, give 10% of their income to meet the needs of the church and so we can go out and help people? He goes, well, you know, most of them don't do that. And this guy goes, yep, same thing, just a bunch of show horses. Church isn't just here for us to look good, okay? We're here to learn what God wants us to do so we can go out and do it. Abraham had instant obedience. Number two, we see also that Abraham's worship involved a willing offering. Verse 9 and 10, Abraham was willing to take his son and offer him on the altar. That must have been hard. Can I just tell you something? I'll be honest with you. God asks us sometimes to do hard things. Why? It's against our flesh. It's against the society that we live in. And we fight it. But Abraham did not fight it. He was willing to give God that which he asked for. God asked us to give. God asked us to give in many ways. He asked us to give of our lives. He asked us to give of our talents. He asked us to give of our resources. We have such a hard time with that. We fight it in our lives. But that is what God wants us to do. When we talk about our building, and I'm just being upfront with you, our building offering's coming up in 2 weeks. I have no problem talking to you about that because this is not just our church. It's all of our church. And all of us must pitch in and do our part and do what God wants us to do to get the building done. But if we're going to do it, we have to be willing to do it. And by the way, if you give to the building, you're not giving to me, you're not giving to the church, you're not giving to the staff, you're giving to the Lord. And God recognizes that. But we need to be willing to do what God has called us to do. If we're going to get the building done and to finish the work, we've got to have a willing offering, and that comes from willing people. We must be willing. The hardest thing for us as Christians is to trust God with our money and our possessions. Thank you for that testimony, Brother Tony. It's hard. It's hard. Why? We like, you know, I like to have everything just set out there, ready to go, set up. It's not like, oh, everything's kind of like, what's going on? That's not me. But that's not faith either. And so God wants us to give. God wants us to trust him in this area. And let me say this, and I'm not some big shot, but over the years we've learned that. Just give as God has told you to give. And by the way, we're not the biggest givers in the church, and we don't. There's probably people that give that sacrifice more than we do. But I was just thinking, since we moved into this building, 1 year after we bought our house. If I took all the money we've given just in the time we've been in this building, we would have paid our mortgage off already. And I got 18 years left. I probably should have. But you know what? It's not about paying off my mortgage. I want to be obedient to God. I want to see God do something, and unfortunately, it takes, not unfortunately, but it takes resources. That building's not going to build itself, okay? These lights, they don't pay for themselves. All that goes on in this church, it has to be taken care of, and it's all of our responsibility just to be a part. And so we're just asking, hey, is this your church? I'm visiting. That's fine. We love you. We hope you come back. But if you're a member of this church, it's your church, let's be willing. Are we asking you to sell everything you have? Look, I know there's ministry. I knew someone that was at our church. Years ago, they were involved with a guy that was a heretic. And they sold their house and gave all their money to that ministry. We're not asking you to do that. Okay? We're asking you, with God's help, what can we all do together? I'm not asking anybody, get rid of my house and go pitch a tent, you know, and get rid of my car and start riding a bicycle. I'm not saying that. But let's sacrifice to some degree and do what God would have us to do to get the building done. All of us working together, we can get it done. We can get it done. But we have to be willing. God wants us to be willing. By the way, when I look at what we've given, some people think when you give something, you've lost it. In other words, that's money we used to have in our account, and now it's gone, so we don't have it. We've lost it. No, 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 no. We've invested it. That is an investment. You say for the future? Yes, for the future of the people that will be helped through that new building or through the ministry of this church, but it's also an investment in the future in eternity. I haven't lost a penny I've ever given to this church. When I see the building that we're in right here and the investment that we made to get in this building here, I say that was an investment. That money wasn't lost. When I look at the new building going up, and it is going up, as fast as I'd like it to, no. I wish that thing was done. Okay, are you like me? I'm like, man, I want that thing done. It's like you walk by and say, oh, look at all the progress we're making. I'm thinking, no, I want it done. And then I think, we did make progress. Okay, but when I look at it going up, I'm like, I invested in that building. When I hear stories from our missionaries like Brother Board and our team in Lao, and Jay doesn't get to his email enough, but whenever he comes out of the mountains and gets the email and I hear the stories of what's going on, or we hear our missionary of the week and the letters read and I hear all those stories, I'm like, I invested in that. I didn't lose that money. When I see families in our church, and I've been here the whole time, so I know some of your stories. You may look good now. You didn't look good then. Okay? Now was the time I didn't look good. But, man, I'm looking pretty good now. Just kidding. I know. People come in, the new people, oh, look at that. That's a choir boy. $5, I'll tell you their whole story. In fact, $10, I'll make up stuff. But when you see lives change and you see people helped, it's like, I invested in that, and so do you on a weekly basis. When I see how the church and what's going on here has helped my family, and it's helped me personally, I've invested in that. And that's how you have to see it. It's an investment. I have several other things to say. Let's go to one more. He also saw his worship as personal sacrifice. Personal sacrifice. He was willing to slay his son. In fact, they went up to the mountain. By the way, I wonder, Isaac's like walking around like, you know, I mean, we're walking, we got a fire stick here. We got wood. We got everything we need to build an altar. You know, I'm not a brain surgeon, but there's one thing missing. Where's the sacrifice? Hey, Dad, what are we going to sacrifice? Don't worry, son. God will provide. He says, you're the sacrifice. And he's ready to go. Everything's there. They're ready to go. And the angel says, stop. We're done. You've proven yourself to me. He was willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. Now, I don't want to harp. You know, I don't like, I'm not one of these that, you know, like, you know, God loves you. So if God loves you, how come you're not tied? Well, I get all that, okay? And I don't want to beat you over the head with God's love. But let's, when we think about what we're going to give to God, we can think about his goodness to us. Why can we worship God through giving? You know what? He's worthy. He's not some fake. I mean, he did come and live on this earth for 33 years. He did allow himself to be beaten, to just inflict horrific pain, to be mocked, to die on the cross for sin that he would never commit. Isn't that amazing? And he did that for me. And he did that for you. By the way, he provides for us on a daily basis. Hey, if you're alive this morning, thank God you're alive. Hey, if you ate today, thank God you ate. If you got a job today, thank God you have health so you can work. You say, well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Think a little bit more. We all whine. I get it. I whine. And sometimes I got to stop and say, wait a minute. I got nothing to whine about. Why do I whine? I enjoy it. But doesn't mean that I'm right. We don't have anything to gripe about. God has been good to us. And you know what? For me to give little bit that I give in comparison to what he give, he's worthy. I'm not, and by the way, say, well, are you trying to get us on May 18th to give because of pressure? No. I'm not trying to pressure anybody. I want you to look at the Lord and say, Lord, what can I give to you? Because after all, you're worthy. You're my Savior. You want to accomplish something this earth. And what you've done for me, you want this church over the course of the next few years to go help accomplish that in other people's lives. You know, that's what's exciting. 5 years from now, when we are in that building, and by the way, 5 years from now, we will not have opening Sunday, okay? We're going to get that thing done. But 5 years from now, you'll come in, you'll look around, and you'll see people every time we move to a building. Well, we can ask you, you know, how many of you were here for the first Sunday? A couple hands would go up. How many of you were here on, where'd we go after that? The Walk With Me Church of God in Christ over on Walnut. A few more hands would go up. How many of you were at the first Friends Build? A few more hands would go up. There's some of you here, this is the only building you know of our church. You weren't even on Pacific. And thankfully for you, you weren't on Anaheim. Because if you did, you would have needed a bulletproof vest. I mean, we had fist fights, we had gang fights, we had shootings. And that was just the staff. We got over it. Listen, by the way, when we went to church there, that little sliding gate opening, I didn't let my kids hang out by there. That's where the bad stuff happened. You guys stay by the building. It was bad. I didn't even go to church. I don't even know why I did. But when we're in that building 5 years from now, we'll ask people, how many of you weren't even in this building over here? And there'll be a bunch of hands raised up. You know what that means? Those are people that were reached when we got into that building. Isn't that what it's all about? But the only way it happens is if we all work together and we sacrifice. Everybody working together to get it done. Now, you know what? I'm going to be real honest here. Can I be honest? Because I haven't been for the last 20 minutes. And I know sometimes we have our offering Sunday and some people don't come to church on that day. They choose to get sick that day because they feel, I'm not giving the big... Listen, just be to church on that day no matter what you're doing. This is your church. All we're asking you to do is what God would have you to do. You say, but I can't give the money like I hear other people giving. God doesn't ask you to do that. God's asking you to do what you can do. Just be involved. All of us working together. Let's just all be involved in whatever way we can, and let's all work together to get the... Is it about a building, to be honest with you? No. It's about the work that needs to be done. It's about the people that need to be reached. I'll be honest one more time. That lawn makes me sick outside. It's messed up. And I walk by, I'm like, what is wrong with that lawn? That's ridiculous. Well, you know why? We have Sunday school out there. That's our Sunday school wing. We got a new one. I walked by that Sunday school tarp, and that made me sick to my stomach. I'm like, this is horrible. It's right next to the job site. You can see through it, and you can see all the job site garbage. And I'm like, this is where we bring the visitors' children. And I'm like, let's buy a new one. By the way, we had building construction. We bought a brand new tarp, like $200. We got some better chairs in there. But you know why we do that? We got nowhere else to put them. I mean, pretty soon we're going to have to put the nursery kids out on the front lawn. You know? We need that building so we can continue to go forward. That's all it is. It's, well, you're a big shot. You guys are going to be big. No, we're not big shots. You know, we're all the same here. I wish we had some big shots because maybe they'd have the millions and they could help us get it done. But we're all just a bunch of little shots, okay? But if we all shoot together, we can get it done. What was Abraham's worship about? It was about his offering to God, to be honest with you. He had great faith. He knew that one, he believed that if he sacrificed his son, God would immediately raise him from the dead. You read Hebrews. Why? Because God said that this boy was going to have a family, and he didn't have a family yet. God said, I don't know what God's doing, but I know he's going to have a family. God said so. So if I kill him, God will raise him from the dead. Great faith. But great faith is shown by our actions. And so what are we asking you to do? We have 2 weeks left. Let's just listen to God. And let's do something wonderful for him. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes this morning.